In the following live session recording, Scott Patrick, pastor to children at First Baptist Church, Douglasville, Georgia, talks about From Basic to Blown Away, different types of kids' worship. Learn tips and strategies on how to lead kids' worship no matter the size of the church, budget, or number of volunteers you may have. Let's join Scott now.
All right, so while y'all are sitting here and we're getting ready, I got some posters right here. And I want you to think about children's worship or even youth worship, like you were talking about. Can I give you some? All right. That I want you to think about, if you do children's worship or if you do youth worship, how does your worship service look? What do you do in these? So when we talk about, what's some of your kids or youth's favorite songs? What's some of the songs that they sing that you like to sing with them? What about the message? How do you do the message? What are some different ways? How do you close out your service each day or each Sunday? What does your opening look like? What do you do for your opening worship? And right here, I've got prayer. What's some things that you do with prayer? And then behind this curtain on this side, I got games. What do you do, some type of games with your in your worship? So I've got a marker. If anybody need a pen or anything to write with on your post-it note, so you can get up and just kind of write down some things and then put your post-it note on this poster. And then that'll give us some ideas about what you do. All right, so I'll let y'all get up and do that as we start. All right, we'll go ahead and get going. So y'all already put some things up there. And you can continue writing things up.
Because they're
blue. Some of you guys, I know Josh and Carol Ann, and but good to have all of you here. For this session, and we're going to be talking about children's worship. We're going to talk about some strategies, how to plan for children's worship, and when we do these conferences, I know I learn from everybody. So feel free to interject and share things at different times as we go through the conference tonight, because we all want to leave here taking two or three things with us that we can implement in our ministries, that we can try or maybe even make better than what we normally do. But what is worship? When we talk about worship, what is worship? How do you describe worship? What's the definition of worship?
Praising God.
Yeah. Praising God. What are ways that we can praise God? What do we do?
Gift to God.
Okay.
Praying, reading the Bible, singing.
Yeah. Reading the Bible, singing. And, you know, a lot of times kids, and even sometimes adults, get into the habit of thinking we only worship on Sunday at 11 o'clock, right? Is that true? Is that a true statement? Well, we do worship on Sunday at 11 o'clock or whatever time your worship is, but worship is a lifestyle.
That's right. Right?
We do it every day. It's every breath that we breathe. And that's something that we try to teach kids, that it's what you do. It's the praying. It's just not singing, but it's the reading the Bible. It's listening. You can worship while you just listen. But it's a lifestyle, something that we do every day. But on Sundays, it's when we come together as a corporate body to worship the Lord. Now, Jeff Land, who wrote an article for Lifeway, he wrote about worship styles for children from basic to blown away. So I've listed here some things that I want you to decide, what is your children's worship style? All right. If you do children's worship, whether it's on Sunday morning or if it's Wednesday night, or maybe Sherry, like you're talking about wanting to do youth worship, start something for them, what would you want that to look like?
Well, I was thinking in the lines of song worship, pretty much, mm-hmm. just starting out or whatever, just bringing that in somewhere
in your studies.
In the youth study.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, they come together and they do their studies and everything else, and I was wanting to,
And that's a good way to start. Yeah, that's good. So let's look at what is your worship style? What is your kids' worship style? The first one is basic, okay? So basic here mainly just talks about maybe you rotate leaders in every week, different leaders, or maybe they're on a monthly schedule, all right? That's how your volunteers work. Maybe your volunteers, they can read over a session real quick when you hand them a week before, and they look over that what they're going to do for that week, and then they come in and do it. And volunteers, they may rely mainly on videos or CDs for that worship service. That's kind of a basic kids worship style. What about blended? Now, blended here means you may use video. There could be songs that you're using to teach, and then also using it for drama. You may be also using the videos for different games or something that you can do, like
Bible Jeopardy.
Yeah, Bible Jeopardy, something like that. Maybe you do have somebody that is a host or a director, or maybe you have a children's pastor. They're in there guiding that. They're in the front leading that and doing the message. Leaders will do the teaching and bring a message, okay? You've got somebody actually teaching. Then you've got children in main corporate worship part of the time, and then they move to children's church. Maybe they, with the adults, they're part of the singing, and then at some time during that worship service, the kids are dismissed and you go to a separate worship area. Then you've got blown away, and what that means is, like, maybe you do have a live band. Somebody plays guitar. Somebody may play the keyboard. You have some people that may like to do skits, and they do live skits. There's a live message. You're not watching a video of the Bible story, but you're teaching the lesson. Then you've got videos are just kind of used for countdowns, bumpers, or graphics, you know, different things like that. So where do you see your children's worship at? What do you see? What does your church look like within this? Who would like to? Tammy, y'all?
Yeah, ours is blended.
Okay.
I'm like her also. We have three services on Sunday morning.
Okay.
At 8, 9:15. And then 10:30.
Okay.
So our kids have two sets of Sunday schools to go to, where the parents and the kids can go to Sunday school at the same time or worship.
All right.
And then our 10:30 hour is when we do our kids' place, we call it, or worship.
All right.
And I do the kindergarten through sixth grade.
Okay.
But we come in together, have lights down, music first, and we keep them all together in there. We have about 150. It's in one big room. Just for the opening.
Yeah.
And then we separate kindergarten through second that goes off in three different rooms, the kindergarten, the first, and the second with different leaders.
Okay.
That teach. We all on the same story.
Yes.
Each week. And then I take the bigger group and keep them. And we teach. We have rotating teachers.
All
right. And we do games in there.
Right.
We do stories. We basically do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Except for kindergarten down, we do it a little bit simpler for them and have a puppet show.
Right.
And we close out of our rooms instead of closing together.
Okay.
And we have check-in stations in different places.
Good. So. Good deal. All right.
So mine's more blended, I think. Blended?
All right, more blended. What would you... You're at a new place now.
I know.
Are y'all doing children's worship there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd say it's a little bit between blended and blown away.
Okay.
Like...
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have the live music.
Mm-hmm.
We still use...
Videos.
Repackaged videos. But everything else is pretty live
okay. That
we use.
All right.
So, but I would say.
Is it your own hour, or do mm-hmm. they share it?
No, it's our own hour.
In there. Do you do Sunday school before it? Or?
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, they leave Sunday school, and we're on the same hall as our children's worship area, mm-hmm. so they just come. Teachers bring them down.
Okay.
Now, some of our kids, that's part of our checkout, our second hour is,
mm-hmm.
you know, parents can come check their kids out to take them to main worship if they want to, but okay. if they stay, they'll stay for children.
Do y'all stay in that same group the whole time?
Yes. Now, for that, it's just first through third mm-hmm. grade, mm-hmm. and then our preschool stay in the preschool building right. the entire time, right. and they have their own preschool worship.
Right. Okay. So yours is first through third?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So the other ones, so they sit out front? I was wondering about our age group. Ours goes to sixth grade. I'm wanting to go to fourth or fifth.
And then
they're in middle school. I'd like for them to be out front.
Yeah. And then once a month.
They're really wanting them up.
I lose them in fifth by January.
They're good with where they're at, or they're ready to go.
And we have some that help us with our worship. We have some girls that can really sing, and they get up and do our worship, our singing, help us with a screen. We have a big screen.
Yeah.
I think at fourth grade too.
And then once a month we do the family worship where we don't have children's worship.
Right. We're trying to get our pastors to do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We do the last Sunday of every month.
That helps the teachers where we can go up front.
That's good.
Yeah.
Caroline, you was explaining.
Well, the 9 o'clock time was I have a smaller group. The preschool to first, you know, if they're under first grade or under, they go straight to class and stay there the whole time. If second grade, no, we go into the worship center. Because if it weren't for that, I wouldn't get to go to worship at all. And so we sit in for the music in the say worship. I should say the music portion of worship in the large group, you know, in the adult group.
Right.
And then we come out, but as he gets up to speak, you know, we don't have like a special music. But when that part's over, we go out. And then I teach the second through fifth grade. And we're just doing a Matthew. We're just reading the scripture, walking through it. I'm trying to help them teach them how to study it. But then the second hour, it's a 10:45 time. There's a 30-minute break, though, from the other one's supposed to let out at 9:15. I mean, not 9:15, 10:15. And the next one doesn't start until 10:45.
Yeah.
So that's always a fun time. But usually my volunteers, they've gone to worship at 9. It's good. And then one of the first things that I did when I went there is the hardest thing for me is the kids being consistent and having the same teacher instead of having to rotate.
Yeah.
And that was, I just started praying that first year that I was there that, I told a church one time, you don't have rotating pastors. How's the kids going to learn from different styles? You know, anyway, but that's the way we have to do.
Right.
The volunteers, I mean, I'm sure we all deal with that. But we start with the large group and do sing some songs with them and pray and then dismiss into age groups.
Age group. Mm-hmm. All right.
And you do Bible story in the age group.
All right.
Yeah, we do the message in there.
And does your church preschool have children's worship?
We do have a children's worship. And I've just come out of that pretty much. And I was in between and just seeing some areas where we have had a big, I mean, our we're growing and had a huge children's thing for the longest time. And then now the youth are growing and you're getting a little gaps here and there, you know, as your church grows and all. And I was just, I seen a need.
Yeah,
and we have kids that are very musically talented in the youth. And I was like, they need to be using this. So that's where I was kind of plugging in there.
So those things that you've learned in children's worship, you can start.
Yeah, our children's ministry, we had like three groups that rotated out every month and had, so that we wouldn't get burnout kind of deal. And then we would do the mix, pretty much a blend.
Right.
And we would have some live, you know, some of the, like you said, the youth would come up and do some songs and all with them and do the motions and all that. And then we'd have some where it was videos. It's whatever the preference is and whether the people to feel it at the moment. But.
Right. Is your youth, are you trying to do it on Sunday morning separate from the adult?
No, it's going to be like a Wednesday night.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we do now. Yeah. We have youth worship on Wednesday night.
I mean, they come and worship with us. So.
Yeah, right.
We've gone totally backwards in the last 3 years since our current pastor came. Uh-huh. We did away with children's church altogether.
Yeah.
We had a halftime youth minister, and he has resigned with more babies in his family and other obligations. We have a student pastor, and I'm not even quite sure what that is, but I think he's sixth grade under his emphasis, but he's also doing youth.
Mm-hmm.
But we do pastor's pal. It's usually the student pastor who does that. Our children except for the tiny ones, and even a lot of the tiny ones, because of Hurricane Michael, mm-hmm. we have combined Sunday school classes. We lost half of our Sunday school kids. Wow. And so the nursery is about 12 by 12 right now.
Right.
And so they are coming, mm-hmm. more of them are coming, even 2 and 3 year olds are coming to church. Our children are very active in all of our worship services.
Okay.
They come up and lead some of the songs. Mm-hmm. They do the pastor's pals. They introduce the mission of the month, and we have them collecting money from the congregation mm-hmm. for the girl-boy contest for Mission Georgia and things like that.
Okay.
On Sunday night, our student pastor does jam mm-hmm. Right before worship service, and they sometimes share that on Sunday night services.
Okay.
Our youth primarily have their in the basement drums, guitar, while worship service on Wednesday night after supper.
Okay.
The children's choirs are before supper, and the youth are after supper during RAGA time.
Okay.
And everything.
Great.
But, we brought the children back into the church, and it's really working well. Uh-huh.
And we're all, it sounds like we're all at different places,
yeah.
and we have different situations. Uh-huh. There's no
right or wrong.
Right or wrong, there's mm-hmm. no.
And you mean, do they, I'm sorry, to I got a question.
Yeah.
Well, they sit,
okay. do they sit together, or they sit with their parents?
They usually combine.
I can imagine
there are usually two or three children who want to sit together, so their parents will kind of fence them in. You
okay,
know.
But it's near parents.
Yeah, the younger children sit in the south wing in case the parents have to walk out with them for a diaper change or something.
Right.
They usually, or the parents, the younger children who are sucking bottles
yeah.
from the choir, we can see them over there.
You don't even have nursery?
We do, but it's very tiny right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay,
it's a tiny little room. We had to combine so many adults and everything,
or
we lost the whole nursery.
Where is your church at?
Sylvester.
There's Sylvester.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, between all
that close to where you were?
Yeah. We dealt with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not far.
Where are you?
I was in Moultrie.
Oh, yeah.
First Baptist Moultrie.
Yeah, we're First Baptist Sylvester.
Yeah.
And the roof of our education building came up off and water came in during Hurricane Michael.
Well, I'm all for it. Like, when I was in Rome, I was the youth music minister also when I lived there. I was doing children and music. But so the kids would do music in the service, and they all sat in the front together. The people leading children's worship would sit with them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we would dismiss and go do, go do a message for them.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I like that they're
in the
worship center.
And I like that the people get to see the kids.
Yes.
And
my senior adults don't know kids or their families. They don't know who they belong to or anything.
The kids
tromping
down from the balcony. And I don't know why they sit up there. It takes them 5 minutes to get up there down for pastor's pal. But it's so funny to hear their little steps coming down the steps running down the aisle. And they all do it in their own unique way.
I mean, they look
better. I'll say one thing that we're trying to work on is for those family worship services is to try to rotate it where a youth gets up there and welcomes everybody to the church, or a kid goes up there and at the welcome, the kid prays, you know, to kind of dismiss it.
Do you come out one time a month? One time a month.
We have almost every Sunday night, the youth sing the special on Sunday night, and one of the youth reads a Bible passage almost every Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd say every Sunday night.
We can rotate that in our every week.
And I've been part of churches that do both, all of these. The current church that I'm at now is First Baptist Douglasville, and we went to children's worship about 6 years ago. We did not have children's worship before then, and we began that. And I'm an advocate that the kids need to be in worship at some point in time. They need to see their parents
worshiping. That's what I'm
saying. They need to see them singing.
Yeah.
They need to see them praying. They need. There's something about just being corporate. And so what we did the once a Sunday.
It does give
your volunteers a break.
I was asked to just do it the fifth Sunday of the month.
Like, yeah.
That's three, four times a
year.
So the kids are never out of the sanctuary at all?
No.
Well, unless they're in the first service.
I went to children's church growing up.
Our Sunday school for our kids.
I didn't. We didn't have it.
Yeah,
I sat with Mama.
Yeah.
It's more of a, it's a trend. But one of the things that.
Those kids don't like, my pastor did a series on the end times these last few weeks. Those kids don't need to hear what he's saying about that. And when you're talking about divorce and marriage and purity and all those things, that's,
there's
times they don't need to sit in on a message, but I definitely think they need this, just like you said, see their family.
Usually on our, what we try to do is on that, well, ours is the fourth Sunday.
And what church are you in? I didn't hear.
First Baptist, Douglasville.
Douglasville, okay.
And so what we try to do is on that fourth Sunday, we do observe the Lord's Supper. And our pastor does use that to tell the parents to say, this is a teaching opportunity for your child. If they have not made their profession of faith and been baptized, you know, he explains that they can't participate, but they need, but a lot of the way he says, I want you to huddle around your family and talk about this while the elements are being passed around and everything. And but the kids get to see that. They get to see it. That's usually a Sunday. When we have baptisms, they'll be on that
That's
Sunday.
What I was gonna say. These kids have never seen a profession of faith or a baptism
They'll
until
get to see
ready to do
the baptism and everything. So,
have kids get baptized, I take the whole class.
Yeah.
So yes, they do get that experience, but when that time's over, we go back out.
So no matter where we're at, no matter how our children's worships are structured, there's some things and some strategies and things that we can be thinking about as we plan and do some things. So I got my big cube here, all right? So I got six things that I want us to talk about. All right, so I'm gonna toss it first, and then I'll toss it to Sherry first, and you gotta look for the number one, okay?
All right,
pull that card out. Pull the number one card out. All right, so on the back of your sheet, you can fill in the blank. The first thing that we need to do when we're thinking about children's worship or even youth worship is make a plan. We've got to have a plan. And one of the first things when I began doing children's worship at First Baptist Douglasville was I had to get a team together. I could not do it by myself. And I wasn't going to do it by myself. So we had to get a team together. Now when I say team, you know, I was looking for maybe four people. Is what I was definitely looking for. I wanted somebody to be responsible for sound, to help run sound and some video. I needed somebody to be a greeter at the entrance of the door. And that person would also, if a child needed to go to the restroom or had some need, they could go with them and watch them as they go down the hall. I needed a person to help me lead some music. I needed somebody to help me lead some music. And then I needed another person to help if they could do some skits or if they could help make some announcements for me. Because what my job was going to be, my part was going to be bring the message, just to do the message. So four was my number. Now, do I always have four? No. I make it with who I can. That's the ideal number for me. And we normally have about 30 to 40 kids, first through fifth grade. We do bring up fifth grade into it, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but I really use my fifth graders as leaders.
Yeah, we do.
And I think that, we'll talk a little bit more about it, but that helps them train them to maybe when they go into the adult worship service, they can learn and be leaders as they go. But if you look at the back of your sheet, so you got to make a plan. Enlist people. You definitely want people who are passionate about kids. All right, and I know that's sometimes hard. You may have it may be really easy for you, but you do want people who love kids. If they don't like kids, I wouldn't be asking them, but you know, find people who like kids. You may even find people who like to speak in groups. Like if you've got somebody who can make announcements or they might like to do a drama, they're not afraid to be in front of people. And then maybe they can lead a song. And I would even say, even if they can't sing, I'm really not looking for somebody to sing great. If they can just sing along with the video, that would be awesome. That's, because in my worship service, we rely upon video songs with the words down at the bottom and, the graphics going on. But that's what we rely upon. Now, every now and then, I'll have one of our orchestra members that play guitar, they'll come up and do a song. But the problem with that is I have to wait till the choir gets through singing and they get up there.
Yeah.
Do y'all
have one service or one children's church? Or
have you? We do. We have one children's worship. Yep. We have Sunday school and then we have worship. And so the kids we give our kids the option. If parents want to bring their kids to worship with them in corporate worship, they come and pick them up from Sunday school.
Okay.
And if they want to stay in kids worship, they can stay in kids worship. We just transfer them down to our worship room. You might have somebody that just likes to teach hand motions, that would like to do some hand motions. They don't have to sing. They really don't have to get up and be the leader to lead them in a group. They could be off to the side. They just may like to do motions. That could be your fifth graders. And maybe incorporate some of your youth who like to do that. So bring some of them into the mix.
Mine aren't free anymore.
They're what now?
They're not free.
They're not free. What are they
doing?
That's
when they do small groups.
Oh, are they? Okay.
That's the change though.
So then I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, so I'm terrible for pulling them out because I use them, sometimes with my preschool.
Right.
Just helping as extra hands. Not.
You could rotate out one or just have them change out so they're not missing it the entire time, but then helping.
If they will.
If they would.
Yeah. Maybe there's some people that would like to run media or the privilege sound or tech. People who like, and I
do let my fifth graders do that. Mm-hmm. They can run a computer better than I can.
They can.
They can fix it.
You're a teenager.
If it goes off, I'm like, I don't know how to get this on. I got two boys that can.
They are troubleshooters.
Like, okay, good.
They are
Thank
really
you.
Good at that. So it's good to have that type of person that would help you. And then, just somebody who likes to control kids in a group mm-hmm. setting. You've got to have somebody that's that kind of authority figure that can
school
help
teacher.
You round them up. Yes, they know. Perfect,
okay,
yes. Exactly. The next thing is when you're doing children's worship, you kind of need to think ahead of what you're going to do, what your message is going to be. A lot of times, if we leave it to our volunteers, they're going to wait to the last minute to decide what they're going to study. But if you can plan your messages out, what your themes are going to be, then at least, maybe 2 weeks or a week ahead of time, that would be ideal. Selecting those themes. And when you select a theme for your children's worship for like a series, then be thinking about songs that go along with that theme. And what would be songs that you could use? And then along with that, then if you use drama or skits, or if you show a video of a biblical story that goes along with that in a video, you gotta think about where you're gonna get that, and then put that together, and putting together all the graphics. So if you think about children's worship, having a plan is not waiting to the last minute. You've got to think ahead of time and help your volunteers to get ready. If you're the one that's putting it together, then you've got to get everything organized and ready to go. I like doing themes like for 4 weeks. Tomorrow we talk about the different curriculum and different worship studies that we can purchase and buy. And a lot of those go 6 to 8 weeks, but I get bored.
Yeah.
So I have to change it up. So.
But okay, now hold up a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I had this problem.
Yeah.
I can't do a VBS set for a theme every month.
No, no, no. When I say a theme, we're just talking like, it may be like this month,
we did that.
Our whole church is doing missions. So we do a study on
some
missions.
Topical
yes.
Things is what
and one thing that we have a new pastor, and one thing that he wants us to do, and we're doing it, is whatever he's preaching about, whatever his study series is, he wants that reflected into the children's worship on their level.
Right.
Which really you have to find some things to work with that. And but the one good thing is that whatever the parents are being taught in corporate worship, their kids are getting it too.
That's good, yeah.
So that's the thinking behind it. They hear the same passages.
So
I'm not saying a whole set.
We were doing that, like when I came, they were doing the orange curriculum.
Yeah.
And with the 252 basic or whatever. And it every month it wanted you to reset this whole
thing
and all. And they were not really doing it that like that anyway. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I just can't change that out every so much. So I would do a month, like a 2 month or a quarter overall theme, like I did a pirate theme or whatever.
Right.
But we did lessons that, you know, we changed them.
Right.
It wasn't all about.
Yeah.
We just had a pirate visit and tell about help, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But
something,
is that? I don't think we have to do that much fluff to teach kids.
And we're talking about this as we go on down, but the one thing that I think we ought to do as directors and volunteers and ministers in this children's ministry, church worship, we need to, as much as possible, reflect on what, make it reflect as what they're doing in corporate worship.
Yeah.
As much as possible.
It needs to look, if y'all were doing a full service, I would.
So, you know, that's my goal is to, the songs that they're singing in corporate worship, I try to find that song in a video that we can sing so they can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also singing in corporate worship, but then, you know, like they're not going to watch a lot of videos in corporate worship. But they'll get that in children's worship. But you got to think about their minds.
Do different songs every week, like they would. Like I tend to, you know, for a month, 4 to 6 weeks, they want to do the same song.
Yeah, just and repetition is good.
Okay.
Yeah, repetition is good.
Where do you get a lot of your songs from?
We get a lot from Worship House Kids.
YouTube.
Well, yeah, you have to be careful now. YouTube.
I know.
But Worship House Kids is a good website to get things from. Then they have a youth version called Youth Worship House. And then there's just Worship House. It's worshiphouse.com.
Do you buy like a subscription to them? Or?
No, the way they work, you buy per song or per video.
Yeah.
So.
Just build your file up and.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have it written out yet, but Jeff Slaughter's doing a monthly subscription now, and you can get a download a song from him, or a song or two each month. He's producing new music, so if you go to his website, jeffslaughter.com, you can see that. But that's where some of that stuff, you know, comes from.
Okay.
So, all right. So repetition is good if you have a theme or something, and you repeat those song, that helps kids learn more. We talk about designing a worship that reflects the church worship. I think as much as possible, you know, the same elements of our corporate worship, praying, then also offering time, if you include that, they need to feel that rhythm or that order of worship. It needs to be something that they're used to, so that when they go to family worship on the fourth Sunday, it's not too much culture shock.
You
know, they kind of, even with our third, fourth, and fifth graders, the pastor's outline that he gives out to the congregation, I give out to them, and I let them fill in the blanks. And it helps them to start thinking about taking notes and listening to the messages. Because the notes are the fill in the blank outlines on the screen anyways in our corporate worship, and we use the same slides in children's worship, and so they're learning to take notes as well. But the thing with children's worship, you know, we all know you gotta be flexible. I mean, because not everything works every time. You have to get to know your kids. Josh, I'm sure you're getting to know a new group of kids, right? And everybody's different. You have to figure out what works with them. What are their talents?
Yeah, they have things already.
And
Sunday, that was for us.
Yeah.
We just moved our kindergartens up, and we didn't know we was going to have 31 kindergartens come in for the first time.
Yeah.
And one of our leaders was teaching, and normally she does 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
She did an 8-minute lesson. Well, we still had 35 minutes to go.
Oh, bless.
With over 100 kids in there, and half third of them was kindergartners. So we kind of whisked everybody out and took up a little more time.
That's right. So you have to be flexible, and you got to have additional plans, because if you don't, the rule is, if we don't have plans for our kids, what do they got?
They take over.
They got some plans, right?
She must have
been a school teacher and had learned the 1 minute per age.
She knew, she's never done it.
So we got point two, second step, or second. So we got to toss it two times. You got to toss it to
somebody.
It's got to be tossed two times. Somebody on the second time, somebody's got to catch it and look for number two. So what's pull out number two there?
It says understand the kids' culture.
Okay, so you got to understand kids and youth, like you're thinking of. All right, so understanding kids, that is a whole conference in itself. But we do have to understand what works with kids. What do they like to listen to? What intrigues your kids, all right? So some things that we can think about is we need to create a worship service on their level. Now, when we're trying to listen, or you take the message that the pastor's preaching in the main worship service and we try to put it down, bring it over to children, we have to look at what the subject matter is. Are they going to understand that concept? And if they're not, then we have to rearrange that to try to teach it so that they can understand it. But you need to select songs that engages the kids, messages that's going to engage with them, and activities. And you know, the way you know if it works or not, because if they get it, they're into it, and if they're not, they're not into it. And that lets you know, okay, we're not going to do that song next time, and we're not going to do that activity next time. But
or like, can we do that again?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can we do that again?
When they want to do that again, you know that's definitely a home run right there, right? One thing too, when we're having children's worship and you're introducing songs, it's good to teach them what those songs mean.
Yes.
What's the phrases? What does that mean? Because some of those concepts may not be understandable for a first grader. A fifth grader could probably understand it, but a first grader can't. So taking time to explain the song before you sing it is really helpful to them. Even relating scripture to that song. What part of scripture does that is this song talking about? And what part of theology is that about? So teach God's word and biblical truth. When you're doing children's worship, I think the main thing is that we have to make sure we're teaching godly truth. I mean, we've got to let these kids know where we're getting God's word, where we're getting the message from. We let every kid in children's worship open up a Bible. And this is where I use the fifth and fourth graders, because the first and second graders sometimes struggle finding a Bible. I mean, finding a book of the Bible or wherever. But we take time and let the fifth graders come help the first graders. Mm-hmm. So that's a leadership role.
With the older, mm-hmm. with the younger, to kind of help yeah. them and show them. Yeah.
And so we let them help them, but we all read it together. Right. And mm-hmm. so my thing I like to do, I like to, as we're reading along, I kind of like to stop and then let the kids fill in the blanks, so to speak, so I know that they're listening, that they're following along. So letting them know that they're we're reading this out of God's Word. So the when we talk about knowing kids' culture, I mean, there's a lot of silly songs out there in children's worship, okay? And I think there's a time and a place for all of them, you know? To me, those upbeat, silly songs are something good as kids are coming in.
Yeah.
While they're getting settled, that type of thing. Then maybe at the end, while you're waiting for pickup or something, mm-hmm. they want to do a fun song. But I think there has to be a definite definition from silly to let's bring it down to where we're going to worship the Lord. And so...
Okay, I need you to define that. Cause
yeah.
to me, a silly song is my pastor leading Pizza Hut song in Bible school or something. I mean, that to me,
well,
I don't use something like that on
yeah.
Sunday. I'm just saying, you mean like a...
Just something, it could be like, I'm just thinking of like when Joe Slaughter does the party song,
oh, okay.
P-A-R-T-Y, yeah. that, and it could even be, you know, just... It, there's probably no scripture value in it.
No, okay. Yeah.
There's nothing yeah, theological about that song. It's just a song that's transitioning maybe to get them, you know,
yes, I got
psyched you. Up okay. or whatever. But
we have dance time too. I found some, Toby Mac has some videos that are Lego
mm-hmm.
to his worship songs.
Okay.
And they love yeah. to watch these Legos just appear. You know,
yeah.
they're it's like a Lego, watching a Lego movie, but it's to his, to some of his mm-hmm. songs. I think in the company that produced it's called Snails Eat Pizza or something like that. So
okay.
they just think that's hilarious. But
there's,
they love to watch.
On I think of songs like Every Move I Make With
yes.
You. I mean, that's theological. I mean, that's true.
But
I think it's a,
yeah.
a silly song. You know, you're kind of working them in.
Okay. Well, I've got a version like this in a lot of mine that they marked. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I guess on my nerves, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We got a song that the kids love. It's called Roundup. I use it for whenever we're doing a Sunday school promotion to bring a friend, and we sing Roundup. It's a Western song.
Okay.
And they love it, but they okay. want to sing it all the time. I'm like, no, we're not singing it all the time. But they love this song called Roundup.
Okay.
And so, anyways, but you know, just there has to be a different definition. You know, just don't do silly songs. You've got to do songs that are very, you know, that incorporate more worship and more biblical truth in it. You know, ask your kids what are they listening to?
Mm-hmm.
What style of music are they listening to? I mean, because what we listen to is different from what they listen to. And if you're not up to date on what kids are listening to, you can easily download from Google, go to Nickelodeon and say, and then they give you the top 100 kid or the top 10 kids songs of the year, the top 10 movies of the year. You can see what they're watching. And so if you ever watch the Nickelodeon Awards, they tell you that you can find out what is where the trends are. But survey your kids, and if there's a certain style of song, there's probably a style of Christian music that way too that could be used in your worships. All right. Now, the use of hand and arm motions in songs. Now, I think kids pick up on lyrics and truths, biblical truths, and picks up on memorizing songs using hand motions. I mean, I like the hand motions. But I had a girl one time who was in fifth grade, and she quit coming to children's worship. And I asked her, finally, after she stopped coming, I said, Charlie Ray, why are you not coming to children's worship anymore? And she just basically says, I hate doing hand motions. And it dawned on me, oh my goodness, we do a lot of hand motions. We put hand motions. And that kind of changed my look at some songs. And I went, you know what? We don't have to do hand motions to every song, because when they do go to corporate worship, we're not really doing hand motions. And I'm going to tell you, the most sweetest times of worship that I have experienced leading kids and being in children's worship is when they're just doing what they worship in the way they want to.
That's right.
I mean, some of them will do a hand motion. I'll see kids just start lifting a hand. I'll see them just closing their eyes and just swaying. And to me, that is powerful. That is more meaningful. And, you know, God loves that just as much. And he loves hand motions too. But I think there's a time to do hand motions. And I think there's a time to just let the Spirit do what he needs to do.
We usually have a group of kids up front that will do motion.
Right.
But no, I do ask them, I said, I do want you to stand up. Mm-hmm. You can at least stand up. But, you don't have to sing. But you're going to be respectful of it.
For if they didn't want to sing, okay, do the motions. If you don't like singing, because some don't even want to sing.
Right.
They're not a vocal. Yeah. So I was like, okay, do the motions or whatever else.
Right. So we, you know, and we use, and I think I'll talk, I don't know if I talked about it already, but I start in the winter preparing for a Vacation Bible School praise team. That praise team is my praise team that I use on Sunday morning to help lead music. They come up on stage. And ever since I started using the kids on stage like that, and I just only use like third, fourth, and fifth graders. And I do have some 6th and 7th graders that will come in there and help, but they'll stand on stage, because something about kids seeing kids lead, you know, they feel a part of it instead of just seeing me or another adult. So we use those, but the songs that we don't do hand motions on, I just tell them, I say, no, you know, you just do what you feel led to do. And then the kids just, you know, the ones that don't like to do hand motions, then they don't feel out of place, and they can worship the way they want to. So anyway, that's something to think about if you're using a lot of hand motions and things. Then just being still. There's times in worship you need to be still, and just, I know that's hard for kids to be still, but what I mean by that, you know, you don't have to worry about a hand motion. You don't, you know, you may just be listening to a song. You may be listening to a mission story or something like that. But being still, that it allows times for kids to enjoy singing without having to worry about, any kind of motion or movement or anything like that. All right, number three. You got to pass it three times.
Is that
one? All right, two. All right, got to do it one more time. Three. All right, pull number three out. All right, so you got to practice. Now, this is something that is kind of hard to do, but it really helps. And that's really practicing what you're going to do there on Sunday morning. Usually the times when I mess up the most that things are going to go wrong, is when I haven't went through what I want to do with my children's worship, with the people that's going to help me. And it's hard to get everybody together, but usually for me it's on Wednesday nights when we do Wednesday night services, when I meet with my sound guy. And if I got something special on stage that I need done, I'll get that person to come in and go over it as well. But it helps to go over what you're going to do. You need to create an order of worship. You need to know a step by step what comes next. If you got somebody running sound, I've ran sound for somebody before, and it's the pressure point. Y'all know that if you served in ministry and music, it's the pressure point. It's where, if anything's going to go wrong, what happens? Where does everybody look?
Yeah,
they look at the sound person, right? So create an order of worship so that person knows what you're going to do. And if you're using any kind of media, go ahead and test it and make sure it's working. I can't tell you how many Sundays I've gotten up and I hadn't tested a DVD that we were doing, and guess what? It
wouldn't play.
It wouldn't play. It had a piece of dirt on it. It had a scratch. And oh no. If you didn't have plan B, the kids have a plan, right? So it's good to test that out before Sunday, because if you've got, if it's, something's not working, something didn't download right, you're in trouble. This has happened several times. There's something that I see, and I'm not really good at downloading everything and then getting it to from my PC to the Mac. So I usually just let my sound guy do that, and I'll get him there on Sunday morning. I'm like, I really saw this. I'm going to do this. And then he starts downloading it. Well, do you know what happens to the internet when all the people come into the church with all their devices? It shuts down, right? It's slow. Sunday mornings are not the time to download stuff, you know, in your church, because it's just, you never know what the internet's going to do.
Amen.
So as much as possible, get it done beforehand and practice it. Make sure everything loads right, the music's are running, everything's in order, and you just have to make sure that technology is running right. Now, technology, a lot of times, my pastor says it, and I believe it. I think it's of Satan, you know, because if it can go wrong, it's going to go, you know, he loves to get a hold of our technology. So be ready for a backup plan on technology, because if it breaks, it's going to break on Sunday. It's just like the air works at church every day of the week. But then on Sunday, it breaks. That's when your technology is usually going to break. If you've got lighting, if you're doing lighting in your worship services, you know, you got to make sure that that's ready to go. But if you're using a praise team with kids, it's good to practice with them. I mean, even if you practice with them, just say once a month and say, hey, these are the songs we're going to do, and let's just go through them. You know, practice with them. Let them... And a lot of times you have to teach these kids what worship really is, because if you put these kids up in front of other kids and they're like, you know, humdrum, and then they don't really know how to act, then they're doing you a disservice. So rehearse with them, teach them how they're supposed to magnify God so that the other kids can do that as well. And then props. If you're using props, make sure those are in place, that you've got things ready to pull. If you're doing an object lesson, make sure those are ready for you. All right, so I said that's number three. All right, let's do number four. Let's see. All right, so I'll toss it one. One. Now we gotta go four. Two. Three.
You're four.
And then I'll let... Let's be four. All right, pull number four out. All right, smooth transitions. Yeah, so all of us want to have the best children's worship session as we can, but we got to make sure transitions are smooth. So you got to think about, Caroline, you were talking about your transitions of kids coming in is crazy, right? So working on making sure those kids are getting dropped off, maybe, you know, a different holding cell for those kids, I don't know, because if kids come in to, if we have kids that won't go, that may not come to Sunday school, and then, but they're coming for children's worship, but they show up 15 minutes or 20 minutes early, what am I going to do with
them?
So what a lot of times we will do in our worship room, I will have on the screen, and from that Worship House Kids, you can get some countdowns that has questions that about scripture or things that they kind of have to, multiple choice that they kind of have to guess. You could have that running. It depending upon what Sunday school curriculum that you have, you may, if your Sunday school curriculum has a DVD series with it, you could have that DVD playing and that kid goes in and listens to that DVD while they're waiting for the other kids to come in, and they're getting the message from Sunday school in that DVD. We use the Gospel Project, and it has the Bible story on DVD. So I have put that DVD on, And while the kids have come in, they've heard the Bible story. So even though they didn't come to the early worship, I mean, come to Sunday school, they still got to hear the Bible story as they were coming in. So that may be a holding cell. I say a holding cell, you know,
we
a place for them.
Clipboards that we put in the seats, like 100 clipboards in their seat.
Uh-huh.
And then whatever the story is for that day, we have a clipboard with a pencil, and we have an activity. It's a word find, picture find that goes
yeah.
with the story. And they work on that till we start.
Oh, that's good.
It takes us about 15 minutes to transition.
Yeah.
Kids in because they were Sunday school classes.
Have an activity sheet.
And we just put it on the clipboard because we don't have tables in there. There's not enough.
Right.
They have chairs like this just about.
Yeah.
And have them in their seats. And they get points for that. We give them points when they go out the door. They have them done. And
right.
We let them spend their points. We have a little Bible story.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that. I like that. That's good. All right. So when you talk about transitions, we talk about music a little bit. You know, transition with, start off with fast songs, and then that raises their energy level, but then transition to slower songs that help them more reflect and express love to God. Consider the volume during worship. I know, I can tell from my kids, if it's too loud, they'll start doing this. And I will tell, and you have to be careful and watch, mm-hmm. be sensitive to those kids, and I'll tell my sound guy, bring it down. Because if I see kids doing this, and if it's too loud,
well, they're not able to worship.
They're not. So be aware of that. Even our voice, you know, we can't control the way the crowd responds by the way we use our voice. If we're speaking really loud, then, you know, they're probably going to be really loud. But I know that when I bring my voice down soft, they'll listen. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just have to practice that.
I have visited other churches, and I hear the praise teams,
mm-hmm.
and I just cringe because you learn in education school that any sound louder than the old-fashioned alarm clocks permanently damages your ear.
Oh, yeah.
It's like going to a rock concert or
yeah.
something. But any sound louder than the old-fashioned ring alarm
wow.
clocks permanently kills those little hairs
yeah.
in your ear, and you have permanent ear damage.
Oh, yeah.
It's like working on a flight line.
And you have that ringing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Use prayer as a time of transition. I think some of y'all really don't hear prayer. Even using like a prayer board at the end, take requests, let children pray on a volunteer basis. And I do my best to have the kids pray. I like to have a prayer at the very beginning to start us off. I like to have a prayer going from a song to the message, and then offering. And I try to incorporate three kids as much as possible. And you know, it may be kids that they're learning how to pray out loud. It's hard to pray out loud,
mm-hmm.
but they're learning. And and you can get some of the sweetest prayers. You can get, I mean, some kids may come up and they may say the blessing of the food,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you know what? God honors it, you know, but they, you know, they're learning to pray out loud. And I think that's huge.
Yes, it is.
For them. So, take prayer requests from the kids. I mean, you know, it's really good when you start hearing kids start praying for their teachers. They're praying for people who are sick, you know, and things like that. And, you know, that lets you know they're getting it, you know, and that they can take their cares to the Lord. All right, next, fifth thing. Let's do five. All right. Got to toss it five times. Here we go.
The one in the back, she with us? She didn't hear.
Miss Mary.
Mary Mark. She's hanging out. She didn't get to this
well,
one.
But two, three, four.
Oh, she's with
five.
She's his.
All right, pull number five out right there.
Yep, each of us.
She's a long way back there.
Go ahead.
What is number five? All right, it means to program up. All right, so number five, program up. What does that mean? Well, that means one of the biggest things I ever learned about doing children's worship is to not develop the program or the service based on your first grader, but you develop it for your fifth grader, whatever your oldest grade is. Because if you target the younger one, what's going to happen to the fourth and fifth grader? They're going. And if you want to get more specific, you target your service to engage the fourth and fifth grade boy. All right? If you can get the fourth and fifth grade boys, or whatever age yours goes up to, then you can get everybody else engaged. It will fall into place. And so Sunday, we were doing a song, and my new fifth grade boys, I put them on this, I put the fifth grade boys and girls on stage, and I said, these are our new leaders of our children's ministry, and they're going to lead us in a song. And these boys who play football, soccer, I mean, they're all into all this sports stuff and everything, they were doing leading worship, doing hand motions and everything. And I said, okay, so if they can do it, then all these little ones can do it. And I said, you know, I was trying to teach them. I said, you are the leaders of these new first graders that have come up to kindergarten, from kindergarten, and you are setting the example for them. And so if you can design your messages so they can get it, and then the songs where they can get it as well. And I'm not gonna say they're not always gonna behave and want to pay attention, but if you think of that in mind, the sound of your music. One of my big things is I don't like a lot of kiddie sounds in my children's worship with first to fifth graders. And every time I play a song and the main vocal person sounds like a real young girl kid, the fifth grader, especially the fifth grade boys, I see them laughing. And you almost have to use the sound of a regular adult band. You don't want to use an older tone, but there's a kind of a medium tone where it maybe has some female vocals in it, and it does have some male vocals in it. It's just a nicer sound than it is just hearing a little kid sound. But the first graders will get it, but your fourth and fifth graders will not get it. So that's what I like to kind of, the songs we like, the sound I want to have in those songs. So so you got to make sure when you design your worship and you think about that, you got to program up for that fifth grader. All right, and last one, number six. We'll just read number six because I don't want to keep y'all over. All right, have a takeaway. How many of you do a takeaway that goes away each week, like a take-home sheet or a summary?
Small group, so they have the sheet from the lesson.
Okay, so that's good. So that's good. They get the sheet from the lesson.
I ran off whatever the store was.
Okay, we started doing our new pastor that came in.
Well, we did a Bible study. Yeah.
He wanted to do a thing called a family card, and we do a family card. And since we're teaching the same message in children's worship, they're learning it as they're hearing in adult worship. I come up with questions that they can answer with their parents. So the front of the card will have whatever we're studying, our passage, and on the back is just some questions that the kids answer. And I always say, go stump your parents, see if they listen in worship.
Yes.
You know, see if they can answer them. And because the questions that I go over or have on that card, I specifically make sure we cover those questions. And so the family gets a card as they go home, and hopefully they're taking them and they're talking about them as they going home. So I've had families say, we love that, it's good. And but that's just one little, it's just a small card, index size card that I just copy off and everything. But something that you can give out to your kids so that the parents know what they've learned, what you've been studying in your worship. And that can make a connection to that family, so that child can talk about what they've been studying. All right, so up here we talked about, you wrote up here some worship songs that you used, Power Shuffle, Fruit of the Spirit song. All right, we got Every Move I Make, Speak Life, that's good. And then your VBS music. Yeah, your VBS music, I use it all the time through the year because the kids remember it.
Yeah.
And even years past, you can pull that out and use.
They have favorites.
Do what now?
They have favorites.
Yeah. And Only Jesus, that's good. One Way.
Only Jesus is a video I found that it's adult singing, but there's two, it's the video is like green with these two, you can see these forms of these two adults leading some motions that they sing to, but they're more of a dancing type thing.
Okay.
It's not like the worship song, the same worship song, it's a different one, but it's very, who's able to forgive, it's a really good worship song for
worship songs from Big Church. Yeah, anytime you can sing the same songs from Worship Church. Closing out your service with prayer, right? And small groups, prayer. Those are good. We didn't talk much about the different, we talked about a little bit about messages, but doing your Bible story, visuals, object lessons are really good with your kids. And then, let's see, your opening songs and dance. We sing group things are good. And then like group games. You got to be careful with games. One of the things that I had a family come up to me and said, we will not come back to children's worship. I'm like, oh my goodness, why? What have I done? And they said, they don't like to come because you don't do a lot of recreation. And I went, well, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, you're not playing ball or doing any kind of games like that with them. I went, well, I'm trying to imitate what you're doing in adult worship. Will there ever be a volleyball net or in the adult worship? Yeah. And they said, no. I said, well, there's never going to be an adult volleyball net in here. We're not going to play games unless I'm using something for an object lesson. I said, is there a basketball hoop in the worship center? No, well, we're not going to be throwing, shooting hoops.
Kind of mad at me because I stopped the teachers from taking them to the playground.
Yeah.
For the last 20 minutes. So
that's
I'm not, you get 1 hour.
Yeah.
Some of these kids will not have a Bible lesson. And some of mine, we live at the lake. So like summer, I may have saw some of my kids one time last summer. I said, I'm not, they can play. That's what throne. They play all the time. I said, Lord.
You know what the average average now for a family to come to church? Have y'all heard what the new statistic is?
Once a month.
That's it used to be twice.
Yeah, I believe.
But now it's once a month. You're lucky to get a family once a month. So we have to be careful with the games. And games, you can do some video games. When I say video games, I'm not talking about Game Boy type things or Wii. I'm talking about you can PowerPoint games where you answer questions and things like that. But that's
good. They did games on Wednesday night at our church after RAs, Bishop Friends, Team Kids, whatever they're having at that
moment. That's fine. There's a place for that.
Yeah.
But not on Sunday morning in my designated worship time.
When you got little girls in dresses and they're
exactly.
And I thought Sylvester was a poor town, but probably 10% at least of our church, 10 or 15% have houses at St. George or Mexico Beach, had them, or Panama City.
Right. They go there on
or
the weekend.
Or like lecture up at Cordillo. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully you've got some practical ideas to be thinking about your children's worship, what you're going to start, and how you can do these things, make a plan, understand the culture, practice a little bit more, program up, and have some work on your transitions and as you think about your children's worship. So thank you so much. Let me pray for you as we dismiss, all right? God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time of learning today, Father. And Lord, we just pray for safety as we travel back to our homes tonight. We thank you, and we give you all the honor, glory, and praise in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank y'all for being here.
Thank you.
Oh man, I'm gonna sleep on that. And like I said, if you come back tomorrow, the session at the 3:15 one, I think, we're gonna talk about different worship, where to get worship ideas and websites and curriculum stuff. So that's what we'll talk about then. All right, thank y'all.
Thank you.
Take some candy if y'all want some candy.